His walls coming down and being connected with God. That's what we're all about. That's what this church is about. This is what your family is all about, is to break down those walls which has been built up for years and years in our past. But we even pray for Korea. I think great things are going to happen there too. We've just got to continue to pray what is happening over there, breaking the walls down. God's working powerfully. We got to have a positive mindset. So let's go ahead and pray before I bring the word. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for you being our Father in heaven. God, without you, we would not be here. Lord, thank you for making us fathers for some of us in this room. As James said, it's great to be a father. Great to be married and then being a father. But Lord, help us, God, to learn God the Father and God the Son today. To be the dad. To be spiritual. To be the person you want us to be on this earth. Lord, help us to continue to break down the walls in our heart, in our lives. God, as we look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, I hope and pray that we can get a glimpse of your heart. How you feel the pain when people walk away. God, help us to feel the pain in a positive way, not negative. But in a positive way where we take the burdens over to you. Thank you, God, for this morning. We love you so much. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay, happy Father's Day. So we have a small gift for the dad. So if you're a dad or a granddad, go ahead and stand up. So we have something small. You may be using it every day. So if you want to go ahead and guess what it is. But you may come in handy. Let's give them a hand. Great job, dads. Let's keep clapping. Thank you. It's called shaving. So, hope it helps. Not that non-dads don't use that, but anyway. Dads, I'm really proud of you and your service to the kids, the family. God has called you to head the family in a spiritual way and show the way for the family and for the kids. Today we're going to talk about God the Father. God the Father in Genesis chapter 6. When you look at the story where our Father in heaven felt the pain of his life. It was good news. He created Adam and Eve, and he created men and women, and things were going extremely well. And then a time came in Genesis chapter 6, not too long, it's just a few chapters away. There was lots of people falling into corruption. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. And we look in verse 9. We'll pick up at verse 5. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. Can you imagine God looking down on this earth? Every human being, every man, every woman, every thought goes through each person. He created man. He knows what's in there. He started getting overwhelmed. Now in the movie Jim Carrey, what he did was, Lord Almighty, he decided to be God himself and pray for everybody. But then he started getting overwhelmed. And God here feels the burden about his people whom he created. And he saw that their intent, their motivation, everything what made them tick was wrong. God has emotions. God has feelings. He's happy, sad. As we keep on reading, it says that he was filled with pain. Let's pick up reading verse 6. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. Can you relate? You know, I'm sure we had pain in our heart, filled with pain, and maybe not all the sin of this world, but maybe pain in our own way. Remember the times when maybe you lost all your money? You lost your wallet. Maybe you lost a child. Maybe a family member. I remember 2 years ago, my own dad passing. I couldn't drive. I heard while I was dropping Melissa off at Eastern Michigan. And at the red light, Iksaji, whom you met, he was trying to call me through the WhatsApp, and I was on the stoplight. And my nephew, Johan, was next to me. I looked at the phone. Your dad passed. Heart sank. I don't know how to describe that feeling. Then Melissa says, who's the dad? Oh, my dad's gone. And I remember dropping her off, give her a big hug, and I couldn't drive. The next 10 minutes, me and Johan, we just cried and we prayed. But he was close. He took care of Grandpa. But I can't relate with all the pain in this world. You can't handle. We get overwhelmed with one tragedy. One flat tire sometimes. We're like, no! Pain. One bad grade, I got a B. It's just, B is awesome. I lost my Bible. I lost my phone. Call my phone. That usually, in our household, that happens. But here, he grieved to the point, why did I make them? God got a little bit emotional there. What will I do now? I had it with those people. Let's see what God did. So the Lord said, I will, in verse 7, so the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth. Can you imagine that intensity and the passion? Men and animals, even animals, they're gone. They're done. Birds, you too. Everybody, you're done. I don't think God was reacting, but God had a passion and a conviction. He was trying to make a point. And the creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And he walked with God. Noah had 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all the people, for the earth is filled with the violence of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. And the story goes on. You know, what I want to talk about today is to really understand God's heart. He checks you and me today. Our motive. Why do we do what we do? Why do we go to church? By the way, it's great to see Elliot's family here from Chicago. Amen. Welcome. Great to have Wendy and Steve. Also, Steve on the way. Welcome. And we also have a mother from Chrissy's mom here. Welcome. But he's checking you out at your thought level, at your heart level. Why did you read the Bible? He knows why you read the Bible. He knows why you read only for 5 minutes. Or why you read, and why you read 3 chapters in one day. Man, he's fired up. Or he read 2 verses and he fell. He knows why. Because you're bored. I've done it. You're bored. God's like, wake up!
I don't know what he does, but sometimes he may shake you up. I don't know. Maybe the angel may come, nudge you a little bit. I'll put a whisper. Get up. It's of God's word. Why do we go to church? Why do we hug? Why do we confess? Why do we sing? Why do we clap? And why some don't clap? There's a reason. There's a reason for everything, what we do, and God knows it why. God even knows why you come back late to church, or don't go to church, or don't go for the midweeks, or Bible talk. God even knows why you don't want to share God's word with other people. He knows why. But praise God, He's not wiping out the earth again and again and again and again. Amen to that. Else He'll have to do it every day. Wipe it up. Or every 40 days. 40 days. Just wash the earth every time. Nope. You go in chapter 9. Now the floods are over and the waters came down and Noah and everybody came out of the boat and he had a conversation. In chapter 9 and verse 8. And God said to Noah, right before, verse 7, as for you, be fruitful and increase in number, multiply on the earth and increase upon it. Get it going. Go get some kids, grandkids. Go for it. Multiply. Hello, you're the man. Bible says he lived 900 years. That's a lot of kids. That's a lot of generations. 900. I mean, at 600, the floods came, so he had another 300 more. 300, how many generations? Maybe 6, 7, 8? That's pretty much, right? That's intense. Then God said to Noah and said to his sons with him, listen, we're going to have a family devo right here. I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you. By the way, I'm going to have a conversation with the whole ark. Let's all get together. Come on, people. Come on, kiddos. Get your bird. Get every creature in here. I'm going to talk to them. I really believe God talks to His creatures. We studied out a few weeks ago. I mean, Elijah was hurting. And the ravens came and helped him. Right? He told the birds to go feed him. That's pretty deep. That's intense. Hey, raiders, birds, go help out Elijah. He's in the cave. All right. Done. Every day. Every day. And so he has this conversation. The birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you and every living creature, I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Praise God. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I'm making between me and you and every living creature with you. A covenant for all generations to come. I've set my rainbow in the clouds, and it'll be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Isn't that cool? That is the coolest thing. You seen a rainbow? It's powerful. It's a reminder of the covenant God made you. That means you know there's not going to be floods. Hallelujah. But the weatherman and all these people make us insecure. Floods are on the way and this and that. And maybe in certain parts of the world there are. But He's not going to wipe out the whole earth. And so we go into the next point where how God continues to see evil year in and sending the prophets, the kings, throughout the generations up till the time of Jesus. And He said, you know what, I got phase one, phase two, I'm going to get into the phase three. And the phase three is, I'm going to go down myself. I'm coming down, guys.
I'm going to come down. I'm going to walk. I'm not going to wipe them out. No more rains. I said that. I can't break my promise. I'm going to come down and show them grace. I'm going to show them love. I'm going to show how to live. How to love one another. How to treat one another. How to forgive one another. How to serve one another. How to give hugs. How to be welcoming. I'm going to show you how. God took thousands of years to make that point. God's very patient. He's very patient with you and me. So we're going to look at the story of Zacchaeus right now. In Luke chapter 19. And he comes in the form of son as a human being. And he decided to walk among the people, show them how to live, show them the way. Good old Zac here, let's just say he was a bad dude, right? He's just cheating people 3 times, 4 times, taking all their money, their taxes, and he had a bad reputation where he lived. And so we look at the story here in Luke 19 in verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, and Jesus was coming this way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. You know, here we see a story that our dear friend Zac wanted to see Jesus. He was eager. He was humble. He didn't make an excuse. He said, "I want to see him personally. I want to have personal impact." He climbed a tree. In fact, he timed it. He was early. I heard preachers say he was early for church. He didn't want to miss Jesus out. I'm sure he found out the timing. "Hey, when did you come to Jericho? Can you tell me?" "Oh, you're a bad dude. Why do you want to see him?" I'm sure he had that opposition. But he pushed through. And he decided to show up. "I want to see this guy. I want to make an impact." You know, there was some hope for Zacchaeus that, you know, maybe something good is going to come out today. Now, we know from the Old Testament, Jesus knows everyone's heart, correct? So he already knew what Zacchaeus was thinking. He had a good motive. He has a good intent. God checks you out. And I think sometimes people, we try to hide with each other and nobody will know my heart. God already knows you. But he didn't flood and check you out and destroy you, praise God. That's where the grace comes in. He's sending people in your life to help you, to guide you, to strengthen you. All you have to do is be eager. All you have to do is climb that tree, be early, be ready to go. And so when Jesus said, "Listen, by the way, I'm coming to your house." Sure. Speak about hospitality. A great hospitality point. He didn't like, can we get the phone here and make an appointment next week? You know what? I'm ready. And he was ready. He was secure. He didn't repent yet. He was secure. I just want to encourage the church to have that welcoming spirit. Open heart, open mind, open your own homes, open your car door. Just be open, open-hearted. Because I really believe that Jesus is so welcoming that Zacchaeus decided, sure. And I wanna challenge you, some of you in this room. Are you welcoming? When is the last time you had invited people in your house? When is the last time you hung out with them? Are you waiting for this big meeting one day? You know, it has to be today. Today is a great day. Father's Day, amen. This week's a great day. In fact, Wednesday we got no midweek, hospitality night. So you can have a family time, hospitality, invite people over, have a party, have a D time, have a discipleship time, whatever you want to do. But have something on Wednesday night. You know, the more welcoming we are, people are going to change around you. Let's continue. Well, let's check out the other people who saw this. Verse 7. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." You know what criticalness can do to you? Criticalness can change your attitude, can bring you down, won't be welcoming, will be cold. You don't want a fellowship. You don't want to talk. Let's not be like these people watching the great things happening around them. If you have a critical spirit today, I want to encourage you. God already knows, by the way, because it's in the Bible, to let it go. If you're critical with anybody in this room, today's a great day to forgive. What do you guys think about that? You know what a critical spirit is? A critical spirit is being critical with a bad spirit. That means you're prejudging them. Oh, I didn't get a hug today. I had no one talk to me. No one fellowship me. I invited them and they didn't come over. So-and-so didn't fellowship. They didn't talk. And we tend to get a little bit critical. But God already knows it. He made it to the Bible. When Jesus was welcoming, he changed his attitude. Let's look at that. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, he didn't care what people were thinking and criticizing. You know, when you're secure with God, when you're eager and you're humble, you don't care what people think. And sometimes people, we care too much what people think in this world. Our neighbors, our boss, and our people, our family group. Some of you are very guarded when I hang out with you. Now you're getting more personal now. You have this guard. You're not open. Not talking. You talk about today. Yeah, it just inspires me. The guy in East Berlin, they're leading the youth and family ministry. Speak about repentance and change. From hatred, the walls, to wanting to serve. That's God. Totally. We can do so much as a church. Some of the things what James was talking about and what God has done is when we have an open heart and a welcoming heart, I'm telling you, you're going to have a lot of people in your home. Lots. In the last couple of weeks, I sent out a lot of flyers and one of the neighbors I was talking to, we had a garage sale. He was totally inspired because he got my number, my flyer, and he said, hey, I left a message. Oh, I missed that. He said, let's get together. I'll be there next month for your Bible study group. Okay, great. Awesome. You know, when you're welcoming, they will be welcoming. And so here we see how his attitude changed, and he said, look, Lord, here, now, maybe he's holding all in his bag, I give half my possessions to the poor. If I cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay him back four times the amount.
a change of heart and attitude. I really believe that true repentance starts with your mind, with your heart. You get secure with the Lord. And then it's open heart. I'm forgiven. I don't need this money. I just need you, God. If everybody in this room have that spirit, you won't be able to fit people in this room. You watch what God will do. I've seen it my whole life. We'll have to change next month to another bigger hall. The great thing is today, we can change. Everybody in this room. Everyone. Because God wants to use us. He wants to use everybody in this room. And so if there's any sin, any criticalness in our hearts, we want to encourage you. We won't wipe you out. Amen. That's grace, right? And He may give you a spanking. I don't know. Maybe you may have a bump or accident. I don't know. Maybe your boss will challenge you. I don't know. I'm just making it up. It has happened to me. So let's close it up here in verse 9. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. Not just to him. We're going to have a great time today. In fact, I got a lot of things to talk to you about, buddy. It's not over yet. Today, the whole house is going to be blessed. Because this man too, the son of Abraham, but the son of man came to seek and save what was lost. In conclusion, I want to thank everyone for making it this morning. Let us take it to heart and let's understand God's heart. He grieves when we have attitudes. He's sad. He won't wipe us out. A lot of grace. Amen. He wants us to change from within. Like Zacchaeus. Change his heart. Open hearted. Yeah, take all my money. I don't need it. I just need enough. I just need Jesus. And the more and more we do that, brothers and sisters, our whole house, our family groups, our neighborhoods, all are going to come to Jesus. Amen to that. Let's go ahead and pray this time. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Father, we I hope we got a glimpse of your heart. You see the evil, the intent of man go through in this world. The media, social media, the news, our neighbors, all around the world, Lord, there's so much of hatred, so much of attack and abuse. And Father, help us now to be critical and watch, but God, to have compassion, to reach out, to love, to be welcoming. Lord, I know, God, the more welcoming we are, Lord, people will change around us. It's an amazing concept. God, as we remember our walk with you, God, how much you have forgiven our sins, our life, I pray, God, that we will understand that you're not going to wipe us out, Lord. You are full of grace and full of mercy for each one of us, Lord. And God, if there's anybody in this room who have criticalness, Lord, that today they will confess 3-4 times, God, that we will talk about it, we'll forgive one another, and we'll kick Satan out of our hearts and our lives. Thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the bread and the wine. Thank you for the Son of God who is willing to die for each and every one of us. To give it all up. To sacrifice. God, we're so blessed to have you as our Father. Help us be great dads, great moms, great kids. Thank you, God, for this love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.